Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Poll question this hour. Do you want Kevin or his kid on?
That is not the poll question.
1-800-795-9565. Give us a call.
Not the poll question. I'm not confident that I would win that.
1-800-795-9565. That is the Hilscher's General Store hotline for you to weigh in. Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove, routes 11 and 15. Here at the Chateau on this Good Friday. And we wish all of those that celebrate Easter a happy Easter. All those who celebrate Passover a happy Passover. And the Chateau, of course, is the Sunbury Motors Studio. It's made possible by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keats at Routes 1115, Hummel's Wharf. And today is Friday. That means it's Brewers Outlet Day. That's right. Go to Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Stock up. Beverages, snacks, pickle bar, you name it. Again, the poll question, Kevin or his kid, co-hosting the rest of the show. 1-800-795-9565. Weigh in now.
You get somebody who knows next to nothing about sports or somebody who knows next to nothing about, well, it's even money now.
Well, Sean and Drew are waiting on the line. Sean,
Sean just likes the fact that Kent Graham got referenced in a sports program. He thinks that's funny.
Texas Tech has contacted Tubby Smith. Interesting. There's a lot of mumbo-jumbo about Brad Stevens and UCLA. Please, really? No. Brad Stevens is not leaving Butler for UCLA. So you can bag those ideas.
Tony Romo just reached a 6-year extension worth $55 million guaranteed. Not bad for a guy who can't close.
I know. Meanwhile, Buster Posey, by the way, got a 9-year, $167 million deal, and Justin Verlander gets $180.
Now I got a question for you, though.
Those are two guys that can close.
Yeah, but Buster Posey, 9-year deal for $167. I mean, I know he's not that old, but wow, that's a long time. That's a lot of seasons for a catcher.
Yeah, but he can play in the spots.
Well, that would be the bonus there, I think. Yeah. I mean, that was my first thought when I thought I saw that time. That's a long time for a catcher.
Yeah, you know, but he's a different looking catcher. This is not Buster Posey is well built, cut. He doesn't carry additional weight, and he also plays in San Francisco half the time. You play in San Francisco half the time. You are playing on a lot of evenings where it's between 55 and 70 degrees.
No, that's a good point.
This is not Pudge Rodriguez, who forever caught in Texas, and half of his games were in heat between 95 and 105. I mean, even in the evening, it was 95 degrees. His durability, I find to be absolutely remarkable as to what he did. It looks like Dominic Brown has had a good spring. Now, does it translate to the regular season? Chase Utley, that good short stroke, was really, really good in the spring.
As Harry Callis said, you the man.
Hit another homer yesterday. And the balance of the play for Ryan Howard is back. You can see he can now stay back on that back foot, which he couldn't do last year. He can now stay back in that back foot, and if he needs to take a pitch and drive it to left center field, he can do it. his full gap power is now back. Because last year when he came back, he could pull it. Okay, he's still a dead pull hitter, but you know he still always had the ability to lay back on one and could hit one to left center or center. You can see now he's got the plate balance where he can hang back on that foot and he can do it.
Well, here's the projected starting lineup for the Phillies. It'll be Rollins, Ben, Utley, Howard, Young, Brown, Nix, Kratz, and Hamels on the mound.
Okay, well, of course, I mean, we then eventually get Ruiz back.
Well, but let me ask you, though, from your opinion, if Cole Hamels is the starting pitcher on opening day, does that say the Phillies are a little bit nervous about Doc, or would he be your starter anyway?
No, he'd be your starter anyway. He's your best pitcher. I mean, you want to start the season with your best guy out on the mound that you perceive to be. That's why they select an opening day starter. That's why the Pirates select A.J. Burnett, why the Red Sox select John Lester, why Justin Verlander starting in Detroit. You start the guy that you think is your best pitcher. Well, Cole Hamels is the best pitcher that the Phillies have.
But again, if everything were equal and everybody and both of them look good, who would you start?
Cole Hamels.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, is that because they like Cole Hamels more, or are they nervous about the way Doc's pitching? That's what I was asking.
Cole Hamels is the best pitcher they have. They selected him as the starter weeks ago. They didn't just like say, uh-oh, he's going bad, we're going to start Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels has been the starting pitcher on opening day for how many weeks now? And he pitched like that during the spring. He earned his spot as the, you know, and he would have been, he was their best pitcher last year, he's their best pitcher now. He starts.
I don't think he started. Has he started an opening day?
No, he has never started an opening day. But he was their best pitcher last year. He was their best pitcher in the spring. He's their best pitcher now.
No, I'm not saying it's the wrong decision. No. I'm not saying that at all.
Look, starting opening day is not ceremonial. It's not the Lifetime Achievement Award. You're trying to get out of the gate. Okay? You're trying to start the season on a positive note.
Are you saying it's a little overblown?
Oh, it's dramatically overblown. But you're trying to set your rotation, too. In other words, you know, you may want to be a manager, for example, that, say, wants to get it into a groove of like a righty, the lefty the next day, and a righty in the third day. So your best guy may be your second-day starter because you're just trying to get into a little, you know, mix and match here. Or you just want to come out of the gate, say, he's my best guy, we're going to start him.
You know, I have the only question I have about the lineup, and please tell me why this would be the way it would be. I'm not overly convinced Rollins should be the leadoff man right now.
Well, I think we're going to have to see how Ben Rivera does.
See, that's who I think is your leadoff guy.
Well, I think you just have to see how he is. Now, which one of the two has the ability to start the game with a home run? Which one has the ability to start the game with an extra base hit? And then which one of the two has the ability to punt the other guy over if you want to play small ball?
I mean, you look at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, Utley, Howard, Young, Brown, Nix, that's pretty solid.
It's good. And Young is going to have to obviously put together a career year. Nix is somebody that has to get out of being the utility role. Okay, and be an everyday guy. But when I look at the top, Rollins can hit with power. Rollins can give you some gap power. He's a veteran, the whole thing. Can work a walk. Rivera could be better at bunting him over instead of flipping it around. Also, you know, if he gets on base, he can obviously steal a base. So, you know, I mean, that's the projected lineup. Now, Roy Halladay had a mediocre spring at best.
Yes.
Mediocre at best. He is in a mode where if he gives you two scoreless innings like you did the other day, you're kind of like, okay, I hope. You're still like, I hope. And all of a sudden the third goes awry, which you did the other day. He's walking too many batters. That's a big part of this. Halliday's walking too many batters. And to be honest with you, you know, everybody only has in their lifetime so many innings in the tank. Marlon Byrd starting in right field for the Mets.
I thought you'd like that.
It's just, I watched him last summer. My son and I go to Fenway Park. He's starting in center field because Jacoby Ellsbury was hurt. And Marlon Byrd and Jacoby Ellsbury are not in the same stratosphere in terms of the kind of ball player they are. There's a base hit to center field. He picks up the ball and he throws it back in. I looked at my son. I said, geez, Dan. I said, I hope that that's just because it was the, you know, he just had to get the ball back in and there was no way he was going to get a double against him because that throw was like had nothing on it. Well, then later on, there was one where he had to make a throw. It's like, oh, my goodness, he's just awful. Then he got in the batter's box, and the Orioles brought in, I think Johnson came out of relief. The first two pitches, he was so far behind. I looked at I said, I don't care what, if I'm Valentine, I pin the dude now. He said, well, he's got two strikes. I said, I don't care. I said, I'm going to tell you right now. I said, the next pitch, he's going to strike out looking. I said, he's confused. Next pitch, struck out.
Yeah, I saw that Mets opening day roster, and that's why I didn't know if you'd seen that. Yeah, I thought, that's
got to be kidding. You have to be kidding. There is less being made of this opening day of baseball than at any point I can remember in my life. I mean, do you realize that? Now, maybe on Monday we get a different feeling for this thing. I mean, the first game is Sunday night. It's the Astros and the Rangers. Okay, fine. Yeah, you know, which draws no excitement. It's just Houston's in the American League now. Boom, here we are. Here's the opener. Okay, it's kind of a throwaway game. Now Major League Baseball could look at Houston and say, okay, you got your one national TV appearance, you're done. Monday will be the real day where everybody gets out and there'll be some excitement. The Phillies don't play until they play at night.
That's play good because I get a chance to see it.
Yeah, no, same. I agree with that. The Pirates play an afternoon game and then I think they play the Cubs to open up. But there's less, I feel like there's less talk about this Major League season. And maybe it's because the World Baseball Classic, spring training was just much longer. I don't know. Do you get that same feeling?
Yeah, and I think it has a lot to do with the longer spring training and the World I think the World Baseball Classic is very, very easily ignored. And I mean, I don't even see, I don't even read a lot or hear a lot about it. And I just kind of stumble across it when I do. It's like, I don't understand what they're trying to do with it.
Look, there are several reasons. Right now, you've just seen the Heat go through a 27-game winning streak. And you also have a network in ESPN that has the NBA contract, thus they're obsessed with it. All right? I mean, let's be objective about this here.
Sure.
They have the NBA contract, thus they feel that that's a major focus for them. They want to talk to promoters as often as possible. Okay. And especially the Heat. The Heat have already been given bonus appearances. They're only supposed to get 15 national appearances. 10 on ESPN, 5 on ABC. They've now hit the 15. They're going to give them two additional ones to get the 17. All right, so you have that. The Pens, okay, not quite the national hype, but a 14-game winning streak. And they made three significant trades. Okay. And the NCAA men's basketball tournament. That combined, who have a season like they're having. See, because normally the schedule for the Final Four is that this would be the weekend of the Final Four, not next weekend.
Right. I thought about that when the tournament started, yeah.
That's changed a little bit. It's going to be the same story next year. It's going to be the same story next year in terms of the, how the calendar works. And I think that's all combined to put baseball in the, oh, by the way, category, at least until we get to Monday. I think Monday there will be a full-blown, it's going to be baseball, baseball, baseball. It's opening day, the whole thing, because the Astros and Rangers give you nothing on Sunday night. They don't give you anything. I mean, that'll be an asterisk. But opening day, I think, you know the Phillies and Braves open up. It's going to be a great divisional race, because I think baseball is a chance to have some great divisional races this year, National League East being one. Between the Nationals, the Phillies, and the Braves. Wow. I mean, that to me is a dynamic divisional race among three power teams. And the Phillies improved themselves just by getting Utley and Howard back. The Rivera edition is interesting. The Delman Young edition is okay. Right? The Braves have dramatically changed their makeup with both the Uptons there. I mean, they're a different look. And then, of course, the Nationals, they've got Strasburg, who can pitch every game, who can pitch the full season now. No restrictions. I think it's dynamic, that division that they're in. You look at the Central, Cardinals, Reds, Brewers. Some people think the Pirates are a threat. I think the Pirates, based on the roster I saw today, are a 70s and 75 win team. The West, Giants and Dodgers, right there at the top. Maybe Arizona, but Giants and Dodgers. American League, you want to talk about loaded? Angels, Rangers, A's improving. Central, you got Tigers, White Sox. Don't know yet about the Indians and Twins. Do they have second half fades? And in the American League East, it's wide open among those five teams. Orioles, Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays, and Rays. Some people think that the Blue Jays are the best team in that group. Maybe even, or that the Rays are. Some think that the Yankees won't make the playoffs. So, I mean, you have some great races. Votes have been pouring in. Kevin's Kid winning 85% to 15% on co-hosting the final half hour of the show. Wow. It's a tough room.
Eight.
We'll come back with more in a moment. What? Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The money stays in the family. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the Central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yeah. holiday weekend time. Kevin and his kid together in the studio. Now up to 87-13 that they want his kid hosting the final half hour of the show. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565.
No.
No what?
No. He's not hosting the final half hour. You'll find everything about Xbox games. That's not what this show's about.
Okay. We talked about Kent Graham in the second half hour.
And where else are you going to hear that?
Same thing, isn't it?
Kent Graham is available on a few old Madden versions for the Xbox. That is
true.
Oh,
Madden versions. Yes. Video games. Now, you'll play video game football, won't you?
Yeah, because, and I'll tell you why. I love the strategy in coaching it. I mean, it's a coaching strategy.
Oh, no, No. I'm sure it's fun. I have no desire to do it, none. But that doesn't mean I don't think it has a chance to be fun. I mean, it looks like it would be a lot of fun. It's just not my bag. That's all.
And that's okay.
Literally nothing to do with anything else other than probably not my bag. That's all. No big deal. I think it's great. If anybody wants to play video games, I think it's terrific.
There's actually one version where you actually play as a manager only, and a manager and a GM. So you're making the deals behind the scenes. You're picking the coach or you're calling the play. You have no control over the execution of it. To me, that's not as fun. I want the control over the execution, too.
Now, they're saying that Xbox 720 could mean the end of used video games.
Yeah, I heard that. And I also saw the dollar figure price and thought, yeah, that's not going to happen in our house for a while.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They're the ones that sponsor Friday. Stock up. It's the holidays.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend. Stock up. Holidays. You never know who's going to drop by. You never know whether you'll need the beverages more than the people that are coming to the home.
And it was so nice of you to invite me over for Easter. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm out of town. All right, so. Not true, actually, I'm here. When you were. About Doug Gottlieb here in a moment. I want to put into perspective for a moment. First of all, he's not one of my favorite announcers to begin with. But ripping him is also wrong, in my opinion. I'm going to talk about from a personal point of view. I do this show every day. And there's also, by the way, one other show I do during the course of the day. So it's 4 hours of talk radio I do a day. 4 hours. When you add in the Thursday night show, where, you know, I'm not the focal point. The focal point is either Patrick Chambers or Bill O'Brien. But still, I have to speak. And there may be a moment we kid around a little bit or whatever. That's 21 hours on the air speaking. Then when you get to games, football, Saturday, 6 hours, basketball, 2 3-hour games a week, 3-hour broadcasts a week, 6 hours. So you're talking on the average. I'm going, and then baseball in the summertime, I'm on the air speaking 27 hours a week. It's a lot of words. The one area where broadcasters get in trouble, where there's high risk, high reward sometimes, is when you're trying to be funny. When I taught the section on talk shows in my class when I first started years ago, I talked about all the serious stuff, you know, back it up with facts, so forth, be smart, don't be, you know, don't say something like that's absolutely terrible without then backing up why you think it's absolutely terrible. I said, don't just do things for shock value. And the one thing I did not do early on when I taught that section was about, you have to remember it's a show and it's entertainment. Kevin and I, for example, are, people always wonder, are you best of friends off the air? Yes, we are. Kevin and I are best of friends off the air.
Have been for some time.
Have been for some time. We're also best of friends on the air, but yeah, but we jab each other left and right, but that's part of the show. And we have fun. You know, you're just a fan. I'm a fan. You know, but that's
part of the... And did you stop being a fan? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but that's part of the show. Okay, so that's the entertainment part. What happens that you get in trouble, and something each one of us tries hard to guard against, is trying to deliver that one liner that, hey, I think is really funny, and all of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, I never should have said that. Thus, we bring in the Doug Gottlieb moment last night.
Cream rising to the crop. I don't know why you guys asked me. I'm just here to bring diversity to this set here, give the kind of my perspective on things from point guard position. No.
Okay, just checking. It's Marquette, Miami.
What happened with you guys?
No, I'm just checking, man. I'm just checking. You jump right into it. You're swimming hard.
Okay.
Swimming hard. Upstream, I might add.
Trust me, we'll get you back before the end of the night.
Question.
Kenny Smith, Greg Anthony, Doug Gottlieb, all three point guards. And for those of you, actually, that kind of dropped out a little bit, Kevin.
Yeah. The comment was that I don't know why you guys ask me. I'm just here to bring diversity to the set. This kind of white man's perspective.
Right. Now, you're in an ad-lib situation. You think in your head quickly, you know, hey, look, I'll be funny and I'll be self-deprecating. Okay. Except it comes off poorly. Mark May then tweets, he made a disparaging comment about him originally. Then he tweets that type of comment is meant for a bar, and he misspelled meant for a bar, not a national stage. Nice job, Gottlieb. I hope all the kids 12 and under didn't hear it. Then he tweets later, after Doug Gottlieb's ignorant comment on CBS, he should be canned. Well, first of all, I think somebody in this business should not be talking about whether anybody else should be canned. But what was interesting, and those who know Charles Barkley, and I personally do not know him, but Dick does, Brian Daly does, because the Sixers, they always practice at St. Joe's, and Brian Daly's a St. Joe's grad, played hoops for St. Joe's. We'll all tell you that how much they like Barkley and how loyal Barkley is. And he went on later and said...
Let me just say this, too. I know this has nothing to do with the game. I want to say something about Doug Gottlieb. He made a joke earlier tonight, and people are going crazy, all those idiots on Twitter, which I would never, ever do. Listen, me, Kenny, and Greg Anthony, and Greg Gummer did not take that personally. So all you people at home who got no life, who are talking bad about Doug Gottlieb, get a life. It's over with, and it's no big deal.
Thanks,
Chuck. Thank you, Chuck.
Okay.
So Chuck steps up and does that. Now, Gottlieb did say, it was not a smart thing to say, and I apologize. And it was not a smart thing to say, and he should apologize and did. And I think, in my opinion, that should be the end of it.
But I also like his apology. It was basically simple, saying it was not a smart thing to say, and I apologize.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Look, we take, like, people are entitled to mistakes. And I think too many people relish a high-profile mistake. What he said was stupid, but I also know it was an attempt to be funny. There are certain topics where trying to be funny is too fine a line and must be, and you have to stay away from it. Right? Race is certainly one. race, gender, ethnicity, preference, okay? There's just certain things that you just, you look, to stay away from. I mean, look at the humor we have. Ours is personal, and I slice Kevin. It's, no, I'm just kidding.
I took this, if I took this show seriously, I'd be in therapy.
I mean, now that's the kind of humor you want to have, where you take the other host and just slice them. No. But there's certain things that you need to stay away from. You know, I mean, you call playing it safe? No, I think it's called playing it smart. So you can kid around a little bit. Self-deprecating humor is always, you know, always good. But when you're on, now, and Doug Gottlieb's on the air a lot. He has his own show on CBS Sportsnet. He's been doing this and so forth. And that was my point about the number of hours a week. I mean, I'm on the air 27 hours a week. Now, that's 27 hours where, let's face it, I can make a verbal mistake or a gaffe. I mean, the more you're on, let's face it, the more you are on, obviously, the more the window is open to somewhere along the line in the thousands of words that you say and the hundreds of sentences that you put together during the course of a week where you may say something stupid.
And this was completely and totally live with no chance to hit the re-record button or hit the stop button and do it over again.
Right. I've never been a fan of his. I never have, for whatever reason, whether it was games, his style, whatever. I've just looked at him over time as, okay, you know, he has opinions, whatever, but I never felt they were. He's in that category where I work with Dick Girardi, and Dick Girardi, I think, is just, even though Doug Gottlieb played and Dick did not play college basketball, that Dick's a better college analyst than Doug Gottlieb. I don't think they're in the same class. Personal preference, maybe prejudice on my part toward my broadcast partner, whom I think the world of. But I hear his analysis, I hear Dick's analysis, and they aren't in the same category. So I'm not a fan. So this is not a case where, like, I'm a big fan and I think he's great and he needs to be defended. No, I think it's the opposite. I'm not really that crazy about his work to begin with. It's just my personal preference. You as a listener out there may think he's terrific, which is your personal preference, which is fine. But I'm getting sick and tired of the a gaffe and he should be fired. Just slow down. Okay?
I find Mark May to be a little bit abrasive.
So do I.
Especially when he's dealing with his partners, partner analyst on ESPN college football broadcast.
And I don't think Mark May covered himself in glory as to how he's talked about the university I broadcast for. All right. I think he has said some things that I didn't like and I thought were ill-informed. And it makes me openly wonder as to whether the rivalry between Pitt and Penn State had entered into his seemingly on-air bitterness toward Penn State University. How about that?
Well, I think it has to do with Notre Dame every once in a while, too, because I've heard that.
Right, and I've never once called for him to be fired. But he's on the air. He can deliver his opinion. It doesn't mean I have to agree with it or like it. But I don't feel like you go on and as a fellow broadcaster and you go, yeah, I ought to get rid of him, you know, and try and make yourself look like the big shot and it's like, yeah, I ought to get rid of him. And again, I'm not sitting here as somebody who thinks, I'm a big Doug Gottlieb. I'm not. Far from it. But I also think that calling for his on-air head is wrong. Look, everybody makes mistakes. You make mistakes, you know, you there driving in the car, right? Right now, I'm talking to you. Have you made a mistake at work in the last month that you eventually fixed? Of course you have. Everybody makes a mistake.
In the last 2 hours, I have.
I'll give you an example. As you know, my mother passed away in December. My brother and I have been dealing with the estate, which for the two of us is there's no issue, no problem, nor will there ever be. My brother and I are very close, and we both agree on everything, so it's no big deal. But there's certain people that we've dealt with along the way where we sat back, you had to be kidding me. I mean, the state of Connecticut sent each of us a letter telling each of us that we died. Okay?
Wait. They sent you a letter.
Yes, explaining that we died. That we died, but we were entitled to part of a pension.
Do they realize that if you had died, you wouldn't be able to get the letter anyway?
Right, but it's a mistake.
No, I know. It's just,
but that's my point.
But it's funny.
It's a mistake. And the two of us called each other and said,
I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, I called my brother up and said, when's your funeral? He goes, next week. I said, mine's going to be on Friday. Each of us got a letter from the state. Each of us explained to us that we were the ones that passed away and that we were entitled to a portion of a state pension. Really? But it's a mistake. But that's all it is. I'm not going to call them up and like, you stupid.
You should be fired.
You should be fired for doing something like that. Of course not. You just call up and go, guys, you made a mistake. I'm very much alive. It's my mother. You're right. I got a new letter saying, okay. It's a mistake. There may be a lot of you out there that are hoping that you're to attend my funeral on Friday, but it's not. Sorry to disappoint you.
Daniel says that there's a term for people on the internet, like what Charles Barkley was talking about. They call them internet trolls.
Right.
Well, that's the term they use on the internet now.
Right. That's the term they use on the internet, and in plain English, they're also known as idiots. All right, I think that's a word a lot of people are going to relate to. But people make mistakes. Did he offend some people with his mistake? Yes. Did he realize he made the mistake? Yes. Does he deserve to lose his job over it? No, please.
What was the intent of the comment? That's where you have to go.
The intent of the comment was self-deprecating. At least that's how I looked at it.
He could, if he was the only guard there, he could say, well, I'm the only guard, and that's why they bring me here for that perspective. Nobody would have said anything.
I don't even know who they were talking about. They're talking about
Kraft
or no, I don't even know talking about.
I just happened to catch it right as it happened and don't even know what they were talking about.
But I hear something like that. Was he wrong? Absolutely. Did it demand apology? Absolutely. IBS, which is the internal one that's up, it's their con.
I think the thing that I like the most, Steve, is the fact that this morning he went on the Dan Patrick show here on WKOK and actually was talking about it with Dan Patrick and didn't avoid it and basically said, the same type of things he said in his apology as well.
He said, look, people, there are certain people, it's an element. You mentioned the troll element.
Right.
That take great joy in making themselves feel better in their own lot in life by knocking down somebody else that is a higher profile. How about that?
There are a lot of TV shows that do that.
Right. Okay. Be happy with your own life and be happy somebody else is doing well. Now, if somebody really crosses a line, then we all have to come together and say, okay, wait. But was it wrong? Yes. Was it 180 degrees of intelligent? Yes. Should it be fatal to his career? Absolutely not. We have to give a little more space to people, especially when they realize they've made a mistake. Of that nature, of course. There are some mistakes that are unforgivable. This one is. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Too much joy taken when somebody missteps. There are unforgivable mistakes. We know that. Then there are certain things that are very much forgivable. Very much. And the vast majority of mistakes are very much forgivable. It's Good Friday, for goodness sakes. We should be thinking about thinking that way. And it's Passover. We should be thinking about that way anyway. Don't you think?
Those without sin cast the first stone.
I mean, but those who haven't made a mistake. Okay? So they haven't made a mistake along the way. Okay? I went yesterday. I need to get something notarized yesterday. Okay? I didn't realize, because I haven't done anything with the notary in a long time, that it needed to be cash. So I didn't have cash with me. It was a mistake. So I went to an ATM, got cash, went back. Okay. It was a mistake on my part for not knowing, because I hadn't done anything with a notary in 20 years. And didn't bother looking it up. My mistake. Bad mistake? Nope. Correctable? Yep.
You should never be allowed to use a notary again.
Yeah. But too much joy. Now, it's a small segment that does this, okay? It's a very small segment. Vast majority of people that are listening to this show right now understand exactly what I'm saying. They get it because they're people of heart and understanding. That's one of the things that makes the Valley so special. It is an area of the country from Harrisburg to Williamsport to Wilkes-Barre to State College. This wide listening area we have is an area filled with people with hard understanding and passion. Okay, so they know when somebody makes a mistake, and it's, you know, and you say, okay, I got it. You apologize. Let's move on. It's all you got to do is move on. But you've got this tiny section out there. As your son Daniel adequately told me, it was trolls that just relish a misstep by somebody to the point where they just want to stick it to them and they want to make themselves and their own lives seem better. Well, your own life isn't better because you point out somebody else's mistake. Your own life's better because you make it better. Not at the expense of somebody else's misery. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, sponsors Friday. It's beverage time. It's weekend time. It's snack time. It's pickle bar time. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Hilscher's General Store. Stop there this Easter weekend. 7 miles south of Seals Grove, routes 11 and 15, Hilscher's General Store. Kevin, Daniel, a happy holiday weekend. Be safe, my friends.
Have a great Easter. We'll see you on Monday.
Yep, we'll talk to you Monday here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.